Hey, it is 9:30, time for the Friday Night Hangout. The sort of grab a brew, shoot the breeze, and interact with you live on the internet. Back from summer break. Happy to be back. Happy to be with the gang virtually for another Friday Night Hangout. Before we get going here, we'll do a quick round of intros and such. But just a reminder, if you're watching live, there is the replay and, of course, the podcast Best Of, which I am one episode behind. Because you know what? These darn things take a while. Keith Elliott from Wallace, Nova Scotia is with us tonight. How's it going, Keith?
Good, Jim. Thanks.
Kate Breton, Carrie, how's it going,
Hello
buddy?
Hello there. We're here, live, I think.
I think we're good. I think Eastlink Internet is working. Maybe. Krista from Halifax, bitesizetravel.ca. How's it going, girl?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing good, doing good.
Nice to be back.
We enjoyed the last month and a half. I think everybody just enjoying the summer, enjoying life in general, taking their trips.
Just enjoying life. Going to New York, drinking beer, drinking lots of stuff.
Well, we'll be talking about beer in a second here, but as we get all settled in, and which is I am drinking something different. It's not local tonight. It's Canadian. It is a Black Oak Imperial IPA.
Oh, nice.
$10. Cost me $8, even though Rockhead said it was $5. But I didn't disagree because I figured it's 8% ABV. Might as well. They're from Toronto. BlackOakBeer.com. And this is their 10th anniversary brew. So nice, strong, dry, and hoppy. A little bit more on the malty side, so East Coast IPA kind of style here. So it's very bitter. It's you have that malt and then you have that bitter sharpness right there. Not bad. I mean, I had a few double IPAs this week from local breweries, which were a little bit tastier, but maybe this will get a little bit better as it warms up. Who knows, but if you see this on shelves at Rockhead here, if you're a local, you can give it a try if you want to spend a few extra bucks, but I think there's a few other alternatives in the IPA style locally that you can probably want to get instead.
Sorry, Jim, was that Imperial?
Yeah, Imperial IPA, 8% ABV. Is there anything other here on the bottle here? No, that's about it. BlackOakBeer.com is their website.
Black Oak.
All right. Carrie, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm not drinking beer tonight. Sorry. Drinking mojito.
All right. It's that time of year for Carrie. Mojito.
No, they got a little bit of a cold coming on, so it's the next best thing.
It's getting a citrus.
I'll make a note of that.
Vitamin C.
Keith, what are you drinking tonight, buddy?
I'm drinking Sebago Brewing Company from Maine, their summer session ale, which is called Simmer Down. Summer's almost over, so Simmer Down.
And how is it? Describe the beer for us here. What is it?
Very hoppy. Smell, a little bit of fruity smell, a little bit of malt smell. A lot of hop on the beginning, a little bit of citrusy on the finish, and you can't really taste any malt at all. Really crisp beer, really easy to drink beer. Yeah, this wouldn't go amiss.
All right, and what's the ABV percentage on that? Is that
4.9, Jim.
4.9, nice and light.
Nice.
Krista, what you drinking?
I'm drinking a little artisanal spirit from near the homeland of one Jim Sear.
Yes.
This is the Distillery Fils du Roi from Petit Pacaville on the Acadian Peninsula near Carquet, where I visited for the Canzou holiday. So I'm enjoying a gin and tonic because it is hot in the hot tub tonight. And that is, if you like gin, go to Northern New Brunswick and find some because that's the only place you can buy it, I'm told. But no, it's a really, really wonderful gin, and it's small batch. And Sebastian, the guy who makes it, is really creative and innovative, and he's making all these interesting spirits, and he has a wall of awards that is amazing for someone who's been in business 2 years. It's extraordinary. He's receiving a lot of international recognition for it.
Didn't he win something on the West Coast not too long ago?
He won something on the West Coast. He's won something on an international spirit show in New York and an international spirit show in London. And his promotion, it's a really small-scale operation. It's him. His dad gave us the tour because he spoke the best English of the people that were there that day. And his mom was there. He wasn't even there that day. I think he was working at his actual job. And they have a brewmaker, and that was the extent of the operation.
Wow.
They have a full distillery and a full craft beer operation. And they have room in this extension that they built for two more of each easily.
Wow.
It's amazing. But the product is extraordinary. I'm not much of a gin drinker. This is fantastic.
All right, so bitesizetravel.ca, and I believe Krista posted a few pics and stuff there. So
yes, I did.
Post, so
I did.
Definitely check that out. All right, let's start off with some topics here. We got a couple topics from, well, let's start with the local story that I think Keith mentioned here. Which is happening not even 500 meters from my house, maybe 500 meters. The Toronto Maple Leafs are in town. They're doing a training camp for a few days here. So they are at the local BMO ice rink, which is just a four ice pad practice center. There's really no seating for anybody. There's just a center aisle and just some, I don't know, maybe you can fit 40 people in total in there. So I guess it went bananas today, judging from a few tweets that I was able to see. Just going to ask you guys, one, hockey fans, two, even care at this point because it is just training camp?
I don't care, but I saw Twitter blow up this morning with all the tweets, and probably lots of people playing hooky from work were on the news today.
And quite a few people took their kids out of school today to line up for this. And I was like, it's school sitting for a week. Well, I would be a terrible parent, and I know that, you know, your kid should go to school after, a smooth 5 days.
And the worst part, and they had said beforehand, they had said, you know, seating is, extremely limited. Don't expect to really get in and get real close. So I don't know why they were making a whole point. And training camp, for those who have seen games, none of the big names are there. It's all these rookies and stuff. You may get a couple of names, but
yeah. So here's the thing. So CBC was there, and they covered every minute of it, and they tweeted about it every 5 seconds. And they were talking to all these people that were waiting in line that were really, you know, they were bummed they didn't get in. And some of them, flew here from St. John's. And, drove up from Cape Breton with their 3-month-old baby and all of these crazy things. And it's like, nothing about this was guaranteed. Like, you had to have known that going into this.
It was
why would you subject yourself to that? Like, why would you? I mean, it's not, super expensive to fly here from St. John's, but it's not, cheap. It's, you know, costs money.
And for anybody in the hockey circuit knows that this is a it is essentially a practice rink. It's not a facility. Just because it has BMO on the side of the building outside, it's not a facility that can handle spectators. It is essentially there for parents to wait for their kids to finish doing their hockey tournaments every spring.
People either didn't read or it wasn't explained well in the media, because, yeah, there's a lot of people that were a little bit perturbed. It wasn't going the way they expected.
Well, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people lined up. And, everything I read said there were, 400 seats or whatever it was. So you get there, you look, and you could buy two tickets. You could get two tickets each. So if there were more than 200 people in line when I arrived, I'd be like, well, yeah, it's probably not going to work out for me.
And I'm just thinking the people who either haven't been in there realize that you can't see nothing. Like these 200 people, like I said earlier, you can only, there's only seating for a few in the corner. There people would be in a hallway not really seeing anything across this four pad ice.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, I kinda have mixed feelings about these things where it's people from the big city bring their one exhibition game to Nova Scotia for the year. I don't know, like, I really struggle with this, because it's like, oh, like, we're so grateful, like, you give us this, like, stupid little crumb that literally means nothing. Like,
well, I'll
like, am
say,
I supposed to be excited at this? I'm not, like.
I'm not excited at all, although I will say that it was, can't remember how long it was, Ottawa and, was it Toronto, did do an exhibition game at the Metro Center, and I did go to that. And guess what? I had really good seats, and I was able to see my Ottawa Senators, no names, beat the crap out of the Toronto Maple Leafs, no names.
No names. Woo!
Which meant nothing, because at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got no dog in this fight. If you want to get up at like 3 in the morning and drag your kids out of bed and go wait in the line, then, you know, I won't judge your parenting openly, but I do have opinions about it. But... it's like, you know, whatever. Like, it's not in my neighborhood. It's not, like, derailing my daily doings and throwings. So I really don't care that much.
Exactly. One thing I kind of forget, how long is this supposed to last anyway? Because it's going to be an issue for traffic in front of my house here. So
till Sunday afternoon, I think.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be all right. The next topic here, this is one that was submitted from Mike from Newfoundland. He can't join us tonight, but I guess there's some renovation issues in his house.
Small rainfall inside his house right now.
Yeah, let's just say that he has a skylight that's, you know, offers no protection.
Oh, anyway, poor Mike. We're thinking of you, Mike.
We're thinking of you, buddy. This topic here, and this was on the news too, CBC covered it here, a Munn student up in St. John's. There's a little controversy here. This student here has hearing disability and asked the professor one of his classes if they wouldn't mind speaking into basically an FM transmitter, a mic, so that he could hear the professor lecture, and the professor refused on the grounds of their religious beliefs, and the universities basically transferred the student to another class from that. And apparently this is not the first time the professor made that stand, did it about 20 years ago, who also refused to wear essentially a mic. And I'm thinking, you know what, saying religious grounds or anything, I'm thinking more of the fact that professor just doesn't want to be recorded or thinking.
First of all, this is Canada. Religious accommodation doesn't really exist here, though people keep trying to make it happen. We have a separation of church and state for a reason, and keep your religion out of the classroom. That is mandated by the Constitution.
I have a question.
You have the freedom to practice your religion, but the rest of it is really none of anyone's business.
Did they cite why, though? Like, did they, the religious reason why? I don't think
no,
they did.
Not the lines that I read.
I mean, I'm sure this professor uses phones, you know.
I mean, well, like, I don't know if you've seen these things like before, but it's basically like a little flat box that you wear on like a lanyard, basically, except that it's up like pretty high, like up about here.
Yeah.
That, so you're speaking into it. So I don't know. Like, from when I read this, I called bullshit. Like, bullshit. It's bullshit.
I have a bullshit meter for sure. Yeah. It's just
like,
they don't want
to
do
they
it.
They have a duty to accommodate this kid's disability. They have a disability support services center on campus. And there are the prof has tenure, so there's like, it's not like they can fire or anything, but she can be censured for this, and she should be. This is inappropriate.
It's not a really hard thing for her to do to accommodate
this student. It's Canada. It's a secular university. This kid is guaranteed.
The student's paying to go to.
Yeah, he's paying money to go to it, though much less than students in other parts of the country. And but this is bullshit. And the university's response is frankly weak.
It is very weak. It's like,
but don't you find universities don't live in the our world anyway?
Well, I won't comment on the ones in Nova Scotia, but some universities do not live in the real world. Yes, that's true.
Wayne Gretzky endorses Harper.
Okay, so a little bit of context for this.
Yes.
So we all know who Wayne Gretzky is.
Yes.
When do you think was the last time Wayne Gretzky lived in Canada?
What, 1985?
Yeah, when he was 16.
He was traded to the
Kings. Greyhounds.
Oh, yeah, when he was traded to the Kings, yeah.
So he was traded to the Kings in what, 88, 89?
Yeah, something like that, right?
Okay.
I don't know.
So for reasons that are considered, I'm pretty cynical when it comes to politics, given my long and storied history with them. There's this concept called bread and circuses, where you disrupt people from the more serious events of the day with superficial distractions. And so the bread and circus known as Canadian hockey hero Wayne Gretzky descended upon Calgary today to formally endorse Stephen Harper. Now, where this gets slightly more messed up, because Wayne Gretzky, as one of the 1.4 million non-resident Canadians who, until July this year, had the right to vote, no longer has the right to vote in Canada, because he resides outside of Canada for the majority of the year, but still decided to come up and stick his little pigeon nose into the proceedings.
So I'm seeing some videos here. Did he actually did like an op, photo op with Harper?
Yeah.
Oh my.
And it's in like a speech and a statement. For some reason, he has decided to grace Canada with his presence.
Well, you know, people on Twitter didn't let it slide. Seriously, Gretzky, are you going to campaign for Harper, but he took away your right to vote? Are you that dense?
Well, I mean, Wayne Gretzky is a renowned moron, isn't he? Like,
he's American in so many ways, really. I mean, Gretzky isn't really relevant anymore, not to be, you know, an asshole, but...
I don't think he's particularly relevant anymore, but he has this, like, weird... He has this weird godlike status. Like, he is not really Canadian in my estimation. He doesn't live here. He doesn't pay taxes here. He doesn't vote here, obviously.
His daughter doesn't like Canada.
Harper's pulling all the rabbits out of his hat right now that he, you know...
Even but you know what? Like, the thing that really pisses me off is that generally Canadians look very disdainfully at celebrity involvement in political campaigns. Mm. We're very different from Americans in that regard. But this is just a bridge too far. Like, and Sheldon Kennedy was at this thing as well. He was there making a statement, and he's someone I actually do like hold in like slightly higher regard. But, but this is bullshit, right? Like, no, like I just get mad that people actually believe this stuff. We are better than this as a country, Canada.
And the worst part, we were only halfway through the election process. Oh my God, we still got
never is going to end.
Weeks and weeks and weeks.
Well, it is funny because people know that I have this, like, you know, these degrees. I have multiple degrees in political science, so generally I would have an interest in this sort of thing. And they keep on coming up trying to talk to me, and I have not been following this campaign. Like, this is my protest. I'm gonna look it up on October 18th. Read a couple of summaries. Figure it out.
Head down to the voting location and.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in the same boat because, you know, what's been getting my attention is the Republican primaries down in the States. I am enjoying reading all this batshit insane stuff that's happening.
I love it.
It is great. I love how now, suddenly, from the last second debate, that you're getting some hints that Trump may be starting to go on his way out. You know, you're starting.
I don't think so.
That's what some of those.
He still has like a 20-point lead on the next closest person.
Well, I subscribe to a lot of the podcasts and the political stuff, and I listen to that as I'm commuting in, and they all seem to want to suggest that his time is almost up, and you know Fiorina did a nice little job with him. Trump really did a good job. Essentially, he was there to take care of Scott Walker and some of the other.
That's the guy you should be scared of. Yeah. But I want Donald Trump to go far in this because he's making all of these like rich Republican guys spend all of their money to fight him, basically, like all these like Sheldon Adelsons and the Koch brothers and like all of these guys, and the Koch brothers have a billion dollars set aside for this election, and they are blowing through it fighting this idiot. But at the same time, like, part of me really wants to see him get the nomination because it is the manifestation of the myth of American exceptionalism. Mm. Like, America, like, having a reality show person as your presidential candidate is what you deserve. That's what you get.
It seems natural.
I celebrate it.
Now, Bristol Palin said that, you know,
Well, if you want to talk about people that don't have a high school education and shouldn't be like stating opinions, there you go.
No. We're getting too much into political here, but I just wanted to go a little bit off the rails with that. But I just wanted to get to the next topic. Keith, you submitted this here. Turd Ferguson.
Oh, I love this.
This is great. I thought it was great.
I love it so much.
Give us a quick nutshell here. What's going on here with Turd?
It was Final Jeopardy, and well, everybody knows the Turd Ferguson sketch from SNL. Who was it? Norm MacDonald as Burt Reynolds.
It's Burt Reynolds.
Dubbed himself Turd Ferguson. I can't remember the woman's name, but she had zero chance of winning, so that's what she made her answer for $600 was Turd Ferguson. So
Ferguson.
Dr. Trebek had to say it out loud to the delight of, I'm sure, millions and millions and millions
of
people.
Well, like most of the internet. This woman,
his chagrin, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. This woman is cruising some serious internet fame today, or since yesterday.
Well, if you're going to go out, you might as well. That was awesome. Yeah.
She's the opposite of Ken Jennings, but I love, like, the Celebrity Jeopardy sketches on Saturday Night Live have always made me laugh like an idiot. Like, an idiot. And so, but the Turd Ferguson one, and they did it again at the SNL 40 show that they had last year.
And it shouldn't be funny, but it's hilarious.
Shouldn't be funny, but it is ridiculous. I love it. I love it so much.
We should probably post here. I'll try to embed some links. All right, let's move on to the next topic here. This is a Krista submitted topic here. Expensive bagels. Krista, what's going on with that?
That's right. The New York Jets, when you go to visit them in New Jersey. I'm stalling while it loads up. So you go over to New Jersey to the MetLife Stadium, and they are presently offering up something called the Jumbo Jet Bagel, and it's a giant bagel. It's not a Montreal-style bagel. It's like what you would expect in an American bagel, and it looks like, from the picture, it has 4 fried eggs on it, ham,
it's bigger. Yeah, it's bigger than a football.
3
yeah.
pounds of meat, oh my God.
Yeah, breakfast sausage, potatoes, 4 fried eggs, and cheese. And it's going for $50 American, which right now would be close to like $70 Canadian. Now, I know someone who's going down to a Jets game in November, and he claims he's going to eat this. But then I said, be careful, because you don't want to die in America.
Oh, did you read at the bottom, though? It's meant to feed between 4 and 6 people. That makes a little more sense. 3 pounds
of meat. America. That's just some lawyer told them they had to say that. Yeah. I guarantee MetLife Stadium is going to be full of Julios trying to eat this thing.
There's going to be a wall of fame of people who survive the bagel.
Like, I love breakfast. I can eat a pretty ridiculous amount of breakfast food, and that looks terrifying.
Jim, all I can say is that would be 2 trips to the palace.
Oh, yes. However, I just wanted to mention here a podcast where they did have a recent episode. They talked about a bagel from New York. It's called the Sporkful.
Spoonful? Oh, I love that one. Yeah, Sporkful.
That's a great one. And they had a New York food critic reviewer, and he asked her, how do you eat your bagels? So basically, you cut it in half, you scoop out one end, one side, one half of it. You layer that with the cream cheese, you put your smoked salmon on there, maybe some capers, and then cream cheese on the other half, and then that's how you eat your bagel in New York.
That is, yeah, that makes sense. That's that you see on offer pretty much everywhere. Mm. It's one of those, like, funny, it's very local to New York, and it's the only place I've ever encountered it in my travels anywhere. When you go there, they're you know, like, oh, where are you from? Like, oh, I'm from Canada. Oh, we're in Canada. And, like, I don't give a lot of detail because I expect they never know where it is.
Yeah.
But if you say Nova Scotia, they'd be like, hey, Nova Scotia, look, Nova Scotia. Like, that is what Nova Scotia is today.
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You call their Nova Scotia lox in Brooklyn.
Nova Scotia lox.
That's right.
No, smoked salmon, Nova Scotia lox.
Yep.
Which is something we're really famous for everywhere else, but...
Well, Nova Scotia lox is kind of like Chicago deep dish. It's in name only, basically.
Well, yeah.
Wait a minute. Nova Scotia lox, like, is that like a brand of smoked salmon that we export?
It's just a style.
It's basically smoked salmon.
You know, it's a style of way they hot smoke it versus, you know, they brine it or hot smoke it or something. You can cold smoke it, brine, no brine, whatever.
But, like, Nova Scotia is crazy famous for it in New York City.
Yeah, I went to the Stage Deli, and that's what I had there, and they were going on and on about Nova Scotia.
Hey, Nova Scotia.
I get it.
Krista, were they talking about the ferry, though, when you said Nova Scotia?
No, they were not. No, you know what? I take that back, because I went to the opening of Coney Island Brewing. I went down to a tasting there, and the guy was asking where I was from, Nova Scotia, and it was over to Labor Day weekend. He's like, Nova Scotia? I got a buddy up there this weekend. A friend of his went up for Wharf Rat.
Well, there you go.
Everybody at home, if you're keeping score, it's been 49 hangouts in a row that we've talked about the ferry.
We've been talking about...
I don't know if the guy took the ferry, but it was there. It was a vaguely referenced.
You know, I had promised last year I would do a supercut of every time we talk about the ferry.
Oh, that sounds like it's a lot of work.
Never have to.
Well, I had nine. Was way over 9 minutes, and it took a few hours to get through all the clips. I'm like
9 minutes. Wow.
I had just started, and then it's like, no, I'm not doing this.
It's pretty dry.
It's in the record. It's for the record.
Hey, let somebody else figure it out if one of us ever runs for office, okay?
Yeah.
They can read through all the dirt.
Let
some like crappy intern with a political party have to watch every minute of this hangout from the last year.
So and then leak out screenshots to Frank Magazine or something.
That's fine. They know. Hey, I'm not hiding. I love NPR. I can't get enough of it.
You know what? I was listening to the NPR One app the other day, and it made me think, why don't CBC have that? Can't they just license? Because La Presse, a newspaper from Quebec, they stopped printing newspapers from Monday
to
Friday.
They're only going to print Saturday editions from now on.
That's
not a terrible idea.
No, considering that there's more people who subscribe to their app, their digital iPad version of the paper than people buying it during the week, and they're like, we're just going to cut. And I think there was a number, it's like 15 or 20% was from print, so they're just going to say, you know what, 15% of our revenue, we're just going to go see ya. And
I mean, the people...
It doesn't make sense, though.
But older people are going to miss that, because they love print newspapers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But really, you or I, when do we have the time to sit down and look at a print newspaper and just, leisurely leaf through it with a coffee? Basically, Saturday or Sunday, and that's it.
Yeah, the only time is Saturday or Sunday when you pick up...
Like, I'm trying to pull it up, and I really think what these old, like, traditional media folks are doing now is really interesting. Like, I subscribe to Maclean's. I don't know if you can see that.
Yep.
And so what they do... So I get the digital, I get the print edition, but I actually end up reading the digital one. But during the election, every day, every morning, they publish an election edition of the day previous day's news. So you just go into your app in the morning, and this is content. Some of it shows up in the magazine the next week, but this is a really unique way that they're using apps to kind of like corral their coverage of this. And they've been doing some pretty interesting, like kick-ass stuff in this election. And if any of these traditional print entities are going to continue to exist in a modern way, it's going to have to be through stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And La Presse invested, I don't know how many millions, $30, $40, $50 million. The platform that they built, they're now going to license it to other newspapers. So the
Star, my God, that's so smart.
The Toronto Star launched this week their iPad version of the paper using the platform that La Presse has built.
Well, so, you know who else needs a new platform for their newspaper?
Is it Locals? Rhymes with Herald?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it'd be nice to have some news from New Brunswick coming out once in a while.
Yeah, that's going to be behind a paywall forever, buddy.
I want to do one last little bit before we end off the hangout, which is our plus one, something that caught our attention this week that we clicked or shared a plus one. Mine is, and I believe it came from salon.com. I should try to bring it up here. It's in my history here. The conspiracy theory from the recent shooting on live TV. I don't know if you guys remember that from a few weeks ago.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I read some of that.
So for those of you who need a refresher, a month ago, maybe it was a month ago, down in the States, on ABC Morning Show, the disgruntled weatherman or whatever reporter on live TV shot cameraman or reporter as they were doing the live spot. And later on that day, he posted his point of view, his smartphone video version of events on his Twitter and YouTube and all that stuff. Anyway, there are some people who believe that that was a conspiracy.
Yes.
That they're alive and well. The boyfriend or the husband of the girl that unfortunately got murdered weren't really, because he wasn't that broken up about it when he was on TV talking about it and all this stuff. And this great article from...
I think it was on the Daily Beast. The one I read was on the
Daily Beast. Yeah. Okay, I thought it was Salon. I'll try to bring it up here and post it here. But basically we're saying that there's this condition that really has really just come up since the internet has been around, that some people just can't accept that shit happens for no reason. Just stuff happens, and they gotta find a reason in the minutia. You know, like, why was he able to walk up to them and just stand there? Well, if you're doing a live spot, you're probably not noticing anything beyond your
purpose. You're focused on what you're doing because you're working. Yeah, like, so this is where, well, it all started. This kind of, like, this brand of conspiracy theory enthusiast really came to the forefront with the 9/11 truthers and everything that, you know, 9/11 truthers, Obama birthers, you know, like, there's a whole realm, and they've never had a broader or louder voice than they have with the internet for this kind of stuff. But that is messed up. Like, this guy's reasoning for how this is all a conspiracy is ridiculous.
Worthwhile reading. I'm sure you can Google it. There's tons of videos on YouTube. But yeah, I think it's if it was Salon or Daily Beast, it's on there. Keith, do you have a plus one or?
It's not. Well, I guess what it is I've been reading this week that Serial returns next month, season 2, and season 3 comes in this spring of 2016.
Oh, wow. Quick.
This is very exciting. Keith Elliott, you've brought all the good news tonight.
Yes.
That's all I have, but that's kind of exciting to me.
Have you guys been listening to the podcast, the Rebuttal podcast?
No, I heard about it.
Undisclosed or whatever it's called.
It's the one by Rabia, right?
It's called the Undisclosed. The State versus Adnan Syed. So
I'll be honest. I find like her a take on things not entirely grounded in reality, but
what we were saying earlier about focusing on the minutia.
Yeah, and like that's just not how that legal. It's not how that legal system works. You just
getting bogged down in the details.
Yeah, getting really bogged down. But there are some segments that is a little bit interesting. But yeah,
I haven't listened to them. I have to check it out.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And I mean, at the end of the day, he is probably going to get out of jail fairly soon. So.
Oh, yeah, probably. All right, Carrie, what is your plus one, or do you have one this week?
No, I don't have one this week.
Okay. Sorry, Krista. I don't know, that's okay. New bit. Krista.
My plus one hasn't happened yet. It is tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock Atlantic time, TSN. Canada versus Ireland in the Rugby World Cup. Get on it.
Now,
I've been to a rugby game now. I vaguely recall it. I'm going to watch some more tomorrow morning.
You should make yourself a big-ass breakfast sandwich. That's all I have to say.
You need a big-ass bagel.
I'm going to make myself a breakfast bagel. That's going
to
happen.
Get Lori to bake you one of those big-ass bagels so you can cook some eggs.
She has started learning how to make... She started, like, making bagels, so...
She said they didn't look good, but they look awesome.
I know, they look good.
She made them Montreal style. She hand-formed them, so they don't look pretty, but they taste good.
Damn straight.
Yeah. So Canada versus Ireland tomorrow. Two countries that I love. Ireland is probably going to cream Canada, but that's okay.
Now, are these the same teams that were in town a few weeks ago to play on, like, you know?
So when they had the battle for New Scotland, it was actually Team Canada, so the Team Canada that will be at the Rugby World Cup, were playing the second tier, the second string team of the Glasgow Warriors. So that's a professional team that plays in a league there. So, you know, it was our, like, national amateur squad against, like, professional players.
Mm-hmm.
But they still won, so hooray. Go Canada. Yeah, well, my loyalties will be very divided tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock Atlantic on TSN.
I feel good about that.
It's going to be a good match. It's, you know. I still know nothing about rugby, but that doesn't mean I can't enjoy it.
All I know is the ball is white.
You know what? I went to that game that they had here. That was kind of like an organizational disaster leading up to it.
Uh-huh.
But it actually ended up being a really well executed event, and I had a great time.
Well, you know what? Nobody talked about it afterwards. Like, there was a lot of talk.
I know.
It was going to be a disaster, and then nothing.
All indicators were that it was going to be a disaster, and it was actually a lot of fun. I had never been to a rugby match before. Had a great time. The venue, other than being a complete pain in the ass to get to, was great. I could not find it again if I had to, because that's just a part of the city I never go to. But, it was a good time. Very good time.
All right. Awesome. With that, Krista, how do we end off the hangout?
Good meeting.
Jeez.